Hello, I'd like to welcome everyone. This is our fifth shiur in the Share Kedusha, the Gates of Holiness by Rav Chaim Vital. This evening we are beginning the fifth shiur within the first chelek, within the first section. Bivora madregat hechasid v'derech tzara k'dei shiyu neged p'nei adam tamid. These, meaning the explanation that's going to be given here, is about the level of the chassid, the level of the pious one. This is going to be done in a shortened format in order that it should be before a person always. V'hum aver ha'dvarim asher hem mitzuyim tamid utzrichim zirut gdola v'gam hem dvarim shehem yoter chamurim mikol ha'shar. כפי אשר בררתי מפניני אמרי נועם רבותינו זכרונם לברכה בתלמוד ובמדרשים ובמסכת ירחת וברכת דרך ארץ בספר זוהר. So these matters, these are found on a constant basis, and these matters are things which require a great amount of personal watchfulness, guarding over one's life. And these are things which are particularly chamor, particularly strict, as are explained in the sweet words of our rabbis in the Talmud, the Midrashim, in the Masechet Yirat Chet, and in the various other places such as Pirkei Derech Eretz, the Pirkei Avot we all know, Sefer Zohar, and so forth and so on. There are three levels. Now just for a quick review, if you recall from the earlier shiurim, there is within a person, let's sort of imagine this as sort of a stack, one thing on top of the other. You have your physical body, your physical goof, your existence, your person that's around you, the flesh of man. Above that, you have a level which is comprised of what's called by numerous different languages here within the Share Kedusha. It's called the Nefesh Chaya, the living soul. It's called the Nefesh Yesodit in this particular chapter, the foundation soul. It's called the Nefesh Tmeah, it's called the spiritually unclean soul. It's called the Nefesh Behemit, the animal soul, within the language of Chassidus in many places. This level, this part of the makeup of the human being, is this place where person's midot, his traits and character, are formed. It is the bridge between his soul and his physical body. All things pass through your character, pass through your midot, they pass through who you are as a person. We explained before that the level of tzaddik, the level of being righteous, was the performance and doing of all of the mitzvot kilchatan, according to the halakha, according to what is required. The level of the chassid, this is the level of performing and doing the mitzvot, but having metakin, having properly ordered and affixed one's character and traits to also be within proper line, so that in this matter, when he does those mitzvot, they are not only done in the most perfect way in terms of their robotic 1, 2, 3 steps, but also in their inner intent and their inner direction and with a proper character. Above this level, meaning the level of the Nefesh Chaya, the Nefesh Yesodit, the Nefesh Behemit, all these different languages used for this level, is the Nefesh Sichlit, is the thinking soul, is the seat of holiness, the seat of what makes us Jewish. It is there in that place that when we refer to soul, we are most often referring. It's in that place that we find the shoresh, the source, for the 365 mitzvot lo taseh, the 365 negative commandments, and the 248 positive commandments. It is there in that place, in that soul, where the drive to move forward to fulfill God's will exists. As said in previous shiurim, it is improper midot, it is traits which have not been refined that are the key factor in preventing a person from moving forward and fulfilling that which is his most deepest and inner desire that stems from his nefesh sichlit, the performance of the mitzvot. So כבר נתבייר בשערים שקדמו כי שלוש מדרגות, and there are three levels, as explained in the previous gates. הראשונה בקניין המידות טובות בנפש השוזית בטבע גמור. The first level is the acquisition of good traits within this foundation soul, that this foundation soul should have these traits as a complete and total natural state. So the first level in this ascension into being pious is the refinement of one's character to the point where the positive and proper is natural and automatic. Hashenit, the second level in this ascent to piousness, is b'sur mera shesam mitzvot lo taseh b'nefesh ha-sichlit. This is in the aspect of moving away from evil, from the 365 mitzvot, 365 commands that say don't do this, that are found in the nefesh sichlit, that are found in the thinking aspect of the soul, that the performance of the mitzvot, all 365, with having already internalized positive traits and character completely. And the third level is not just not doing anything wrong because of one's good traits, but the fulfillment of the 248 mitzvot because one has good traits and through his good traits. B'kiyum ramach mitzvot aseh hanikra aseh tov. Now, Rav Chaim Vital is going to do for us in this chapter much of what he did in the last, somewhat of a listing of mitzvot and so forth, in order for us to have before us sort of like a chart of what will assist us in the acquisition of these levels. V'hine od yesh madrega emsait shehi kinyan hamidot v'gam hem krovim el mitzvot lo taseh derech asmachta u'midivrei kabbalah shehu me'hanevi'im v'haktuvim. So now, what Rav Chaim Vital is going to give us is this middle layer, which is very much like the mitzvot, meaning the tools and the means to identify the specific traits that we need to work on in order to be able to ultimately affect our internal traits. The internal traits, the midot, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferet, and so forth and so on, that through perfecting the following, a person will properly metaken his midot, he will properly refine and order his midot, his traits, and therefore ascend automatically by virtue of the fact that internally he already has a deep set desire to do God's will that comes from his nefesh sichlit. So his performing this will align his midot, and that will cause a flow, that will cause a movement in him for guarding and performing the mitzvot, which were the upper two levels we said in the ascent to piety, as mentioned before. So let's begin. עניין המידות היותר מגונות ויותר חמורות ומנעות דבקות האדם עם השם יברך. So regarding the traits that are particularly improper and that hold back the cleaving of man to God, הגאווה, self-centeredness, the first and foremost, the very shoresh, the very root of all improper traits, the sense of I, ani. It says regarding the word ani, I, that the same letters Aleph Nun Yud, and you said this over in many other shiurim, Aleph Nun Yud can be switched around, the word I can be switched to be Ein, nothingness. This is our ultimate goal. And what's the big problem with this concept of I? What's this idea of gava? Where do we find this bad trait causing a problem? I'll say like this. It's only big enough inside of us for the one of us. Either I or God. It's either my will and my desires, or it's God's will and God's desires. Within a person, in his filling himself with himself, he pushes out with two hands all holiness, all godliness from himself. He creates a place of darkness. He creates a place, a presence, something which believes itself and shows itself to be something separate from God. That's the problem with ani. That's the problem with I. That's the problem with gava, with self-centeredness. That a person forms himself into a being that is separate from God, that decides to have its own will separate from the will of God. That's the problem, and that's the foundation of all the bad traits. They all stem, ultimately speaking, from one's inner desire to exist as a separate and distinct entity from God's will and from God. Therefore, if anything is going to hold back cleaving to one's Creator more than anything else, this would be it. In the ascent to piety, the most important tool for elevating oneself and approaching Hashem is the constant investigation day in and day out of one's thoughts, actions, and deeds for the presence of gava, for the presence of self-centeredness in their midst. If you can identify in what you do that aspect of I as separate from God's will, you have in fact placed before your eyes and identified the very thing which creates a barrier between you and God. And therefore attacking that nekuda, that point, is the far most important avoda, the far most important service you can do. And the ascent of piety in cleaving to Hashem and identifying and running after them one by one, this is our job. I will tell you one thing, and this is an important yesod, an important fundamental in growth, that when you do this service, you will find yourself presented by the sword of the Yetzer Hara in a very specific way, and that is to throw oneself down into depression. The Yetzer Hara, something which is ingrained within one's person, that aspect of the psyche that cleaves to being separate, that is the Yetzer Hara. And when you go to run after this Nekuda, this point of self-centeredness, it will attack you in the sense of depression. It will try and convince you that there is no hope, that this is you, this is who you are, and you cannot change. And in doing so, shut you down and prevent you from doing this important service, the removing of self-centeredness and the fulfilling of God's will in a straight and unadulterated path. Making our will God's will. And this is the idea that God's will be our will. There will be a cleaving of our will with God's will, and we will be kalim, we will be the means to fulfill His will when we attack the gava, when we attack that which stands in the way of all of this. Because at that one point is the point in the circle where all enters. You fix there, you fix it all. Nevertheless, there's no question that this is not an easy service. This is a lifelong thing. And it's also not always possible to attack it here at the makor, at the actual source of all of our character trait problems. So therefore, the list is going to continue. By us attacking each and every one of the symptoms, so to speak, each and every one of the branches of poor trait that we see in our life, we are climbing back up until we reach the high point, the point of changing who we are by removing who we are, or more importantly, redefining who we are as the ones and the beings that fulfill God's will. That's a complete change of self. That is a tikkun. That is aligning and setting things straight and forward. What then is the active trait, the active aspect of self-centeredness? What is the aspect of man, the aspect of a person, that is going to be seen from the outside as a result of intensifying self-centeredness? The next word in the Sefer, haka'as, anger. Anger comes from one's sense of self and the invasion of that space that's within. That space that you call I. Now you also understand from here where depression gets its hook. What is depression? Depression is a repressed anger that things are not going the way that I want, that things are not within my control. So So what happens is that offense of self forms anger, and when that anger cannot be expressed, it's repressed, and that develops yush, the giving up of hope, and the spiraling and falling into depression. So therefore, when a person is angry, when he sees anger coming out from him, it is a very important sign that he must work intensely and quickly at finding all the nekudot, all the points of gava and self-centeredness within him as quickly as he can in order to attack them and remove them. Hakaptanut, stinginess, again, this idea of self and self-preservation. And when I say self-preservation, I don't mean in terms of being alive. I mean preserving the aspect of I, me. Hatzavut, sadness. With this constant turning around within oneself of hopelessness, sadness develops and pours out from the person. When there's sadness and tears in you, again, investigate, find, sit down and write with a piece of paper anything you can about you and your life. In the run to save yourself and find all of that which in you, which is an aspect of self. Save yourself by giving up one's sense of self for the sense of duty and fulfillment of God's will. Hasina, angry. Hatred of any form. Hatred stems from an offense, again, to one's sense of self. Hakina, jealousy. What does it mean to be jealous? It means that somebody else offends his person because he has what he does not. What I don't have, that one has. That offends me because I don't have it. That is self-centeredness. That is gava. Hata'ava b'ta'anugim, the desire for all momentary pleasures of the world. No. You're feeding oneself, giving the self. Why not think about the joys that are due to God? Why not think about what we can do and have the real kina that's kedusha, the real jealousy for God that is of holiness? The desire that anything that we can do to make God happy. What do you mean make God happy? I mean the performance of Torah mitzvot with ava and yira, with love and awe. In other words, not just doing what God said because He told you, but doing it with passion and love. Sheer awe of the Creator, that He should find Hana, that He should find that our mitzvot are sweet before Him, for doing things by. Here is the level of going beyond for God. החמדה, השררה, והכבוד. Desiring things, looking for honor, trying to show off one's good deeds to other people. All this is about feeding oneself. All this is about self-centeredness. V'havacham, and the opposite of all of this, hem ha-shiflut ad ketzei ha-haron, it is the lowering one's spirit to the utmost points. Anava, it is humility. You should not be angry even on the members of your family, on anyone. Don't be particular about anything. It says regarding one's wife, he's not allowed to be particular about anything, just that she keeps sneers, that she keeps a modest dress and a modest sense of herself around others. Everything else, let go, don't worry about it, whatever it is. Be the one who is embarrassed, not the embarrasser of others. He should be happy even at times of his troubles. He should love all, even the non-Jew. Hatred is not the midah, it's not the character of the Jew. V'lo yikane al shum dvar, ki katzel yemenu alei haaretz. Do not be jealous about anything, for we're only a shadow in the course of time. V'yisna v'yavir kol inyanei ha'olam hazeh. Detest all the physicality of this world. Upat b'melech tochal, bread with salt eat. Meaning, make use of this world for the purpose of serving God, not for the purpose of plain outright physical pleasures. What you do positive, you can gain pleasure from. But don't run after that pleasure. V'lo tahmod shum davar mehavlei ha'olam hazeh. Don't have a passionate desire for any of the nothings of this world, any of the nothingness that's here. V'tivrach b'kol kochacha min hasra ha'koveret ba'aleha. לא תגיד את צדקותיך כי תאבד שכרך בעולם הבא וגם יענישוך בגיהנום. Don't reveal what's good about you. Don't reveal your good deeds. Don't spend your life trying to get everybody else to see what you do, because that causes your reward to be lost and your world to come be a place of punishment instead of reward. Don't seek to have the reward now. Leave it for the world to come. Midot hasurot, the traits which are asur, which are not allowed, the traits which we must break and leave and have not with us. Meaning those things which are closest of all to mitzvot, closest of all to commands, which we need to further our, and separate ourselves from as much as possible. Ben Lashon Hara, or Chilut, is this tale-bearing, is the telling something about someone else in order to cause them damage, even though this is true. That's Lashon Hara. And Rechilut is going and telling, hey, you know what so-and-so said about you? Oh, come, what destruction comes from such things? These must be completely and totally cut off from one's lifestyle. there should be no natural tendency towards these traits within your life. If you're going to be pious, if you're going to shoot for holiness, they need to be removed from oneself. Bahavanat panim, embarrassing people. Bikinu shemra lechaveru, kind of calling your friends things that are improper, impure. Hey buddy, you're this, you're that. What does that fit into the realm of being pious and holy? Veletzanut. This is not a world for clowning around. It doesn't mean that a person cannot have a warm heart. He cannot start his shiur with a nice joke or that, to sweeten up the moment in the heart and the time and the feeling to move forward with. But being a joker, and God forbid we know where these things can lead, to jokes of all kinds of improper and low levels of filth, this has to again remove from one's sense of natural acting. His reaction to everything shouldn't be, it's just a big joke, but a careful and collected response that may include levity, but controlled levity, and in fact all controlled passion is positive when it's under control. The sheker, lies. Our God is a God of truth. If you're a person of lies, how then are you going to be close to God? Hanufa, walking around and saying to people all their good traits in front of their face to get them to look at you with a sparkling eye to do that which you want and desire. This is not positive, this is not proper. Or Mia, trickery. Sicha v'tela, pointless speech with no purpose. Serving God and being a servant of God means everything in life has purpose, and everything you do should be with purpose. In particular, speech, which has the power of drawing down from the highest and bringing it into the most spiritual, tangible element that we can communicate with. Knowledge and understanding and thoughts that transfer between us, all that should have strict purpose, meaning. Sipur genut chaviro, talking about one's friends and so forth. Mitkabed biklon chaviro, that a person should honor himself with somebody else's shame. There's no question in any of our minds that this is a sword, that this is not allowed. But being pious means changing who we are. It means changing our natural tendencies. Nene b'chvod Torah, gaining for one's own self from the honor of Torah. The Torah is God's. He gave it to us so that we should be close with Him and that we should do His will, that we should reveal His wholeness in this world, how that everything that is here is here by His will. When we do the mitzvot, when we fulfill God's will, we create a shining light in the universe. Because God is seen to exist. God God is apparent in the universe through one's actions and fulfillment of His will. If you go and then take that honor for yourself, Rahman Aslan, you're stealing from God. And one of the most difficult things to break, but most important. Important because it's something which inspires all forms of tumah within a person. Histaklut barayot. It's the looking at improper things. Pornography destroys a man, destroys a woman, destroys relationships, families, people. All is destruction when one's sights are set on arayot, on things of an improper nature. When a person's walking in the street and somebody walks by with their midriff open, it's a disgusting thing. If you allow yourself to attach to that sight, you're going to draw your entire being down. We're not commenting on those people who don't know any better that are walking around and doing this. We're talking about ourselves and the way we react to all that is around. The most fundamental point of growth is the first and foremost of all things that we must accept upon ourselves. This is the basis of what makes a person a tzaddik. And we're here now talking about a chassid, about a pious person, is responsibility. Taking responsibility for oneself, for one's mind, one's actions, one's thoughts, one's visions. Where one sees and what one looks at is important. And the only one a person can ever be angry at is himself, when he should participate in the act of sight on something which is impure. That aspect, turning things inward, into oneself, taking responsibility, is fundamental to all of our growth. The other form of being, not taking responsibility, expresses itself in anger. The unfortunate situation that occasionally is seen, where fairly religious people sometimes react with anger to those people who are not acting or not clothed in proper manners and so forth, is understandable, as it's an offense to them. It's sure it's an offense to God too, but the offense that they're expressing often is the offense that they have within themselves, and not the kina, not the jealousy of God. God forbid, I'm not looking to put anybody down, but I'm saying this for those people who from the outside have seen religious people act in this way. Understand that that reaction is a natural reaction, because again, these sights are things which are offensive to oneself. But being pious, though, is being beyond the tzaddik. It's being beyond that. It's realizing and taking responsibility for what one sees, meaning for himself having seen it, less so for the person who is there, who he is seeing. And instead thinking, what can he do to inspire that other person to change? Tochacha, reprimand at its highest state, is lifting that person out of the dark hole that they're in now and enlightening them to being responsible for themselves. There's always tshuva. No one is ever far gone. And it's always possible, by being an expression yourself of God's will, of you doing the right thing, and walking on and moving on in the right path, and demonstrating clearly the way, the sweet way of Torah, that all they that are around can grow and can approach Hashem also. And that starts with personal responsibility and not pointing his finger anywhere but himself. And when he sees someone else, he says one should not hate his brother in his heart. That's why it says, Ochiach Dochiach, you shall surely rebuke. Meaning, you shall surely come to lift them up too. B'mitzvot lo taseh v'achamurot sheyesh behem kritot umita bidei shamayim umitat betim. The other aspect that we have to be particular of, is guarding against those mitzvot, guarding against those commands that have the most impact, that they bring about death for one's soul, God forbid, so to speak, meaning a cutting off from God, a separation from God is death. Just as a separation of soul from body is death. There's always tshuva, there's always the ability to repent. It's never turned off. Umitat bideshtin, and also those things which bring about death in judgment. By knowing that this is something which God decreed a death penalty for, we can understand that this is something that He wants us to take very seriously. The worst of all sin, the absolute of all evil, is Chilul Hashem, is without any question the desecrating of God's name. Now, what do we mean by that? We mean creating an expression of falsehood and associating that with the Creator. In a sense, every sin is sourced within this idea. When you go ahead and, God forbid, you act against God, when you act against His mitzvot, and this becomes apparent to all those around, that you, who as a Jew should be acting properly, are acting improperly, what are you doing? What are you showing to the world? You are demonstrating that you are not accepting the truth of God. You are associating the falsehood of yourself and your actions with God because you're a Jew. Therefore, you can see how this is the source of all that which is wrong, ultimately speaking. And this is the most chamor, the most strict of all things. You are a knight in God's army. Serve Him with shining steel for your armor. Don't be a schlump. Bring truth and holiness to God's name. Do the actual opposite of what we just said. Associate truth with God by being truthful and being honest and fulfilling the Torah and moving forward as a light. You are sanctifying God's name. Uktiv v'yitem nikiyim. In Bamidbar, Paraklamo Bet, it says that a person should always present himself as being clean. All too quickly, we throw off the yoke of responsibility for those things which are marat ayin, those things which are not allowed, because if someone should see us, they might construe this to be an action which is improper, that what we're doing is something we shouldn't be doing. Even if it's proper and permissible what we're doing, but that somebody should see us and think it's wrong, that's called marat ayin. And we're not allowed to do a number of things because others might see us doing it and think it's wrong. Or, excuse me, they think that we're doing something wrong. Why is that so important? Who are we? Who cares what we are? Who cares if somebody else looks at us and sees that what? That we're doing something wrong? Bah, okay, so I'm a sinner. What do you want from me? No. You're a Jew. You're a representative of God in the world. When it says that we are to be a light unto the nations, that's very serious. We're not just talking in front of Jews, we're talking in front of the whole world. We need to be knights in shining armor at all times. The non-Jew is important before God. We saw before that it's important that we understand that we need to love everyone, even the non-Jew. See, hear, and understand, the way that we love the non-Jew is by us being the best we can. By being examples of God's will in the universe, we are a light unto the nations. So that all can look and see that there is God and He is a God of truth. That's our mission. And that's fulfilled by us doing His will, and in particular by doing it with love and awe. With passion and desire. Beyond that, there are other things which we need to be particular about, as these are things which bring about a destruction of our spiritual self. Being particular about all the laws, beginning and end of separation from one's wife as much as he loves and cares for her, but being separate during those times when God has ordained for us to be separate, for passing that border, for going over that hedge of roses, we cause damage to ourselves, to our spirit and our being and our ability to be holy. And furthermore, it's important that we be careful in regards to the Shabbat. Ushmirat Shabbat b'chol prateya yoter mikol mitzvot, and in particular in guarding the Shabbat, in guarding the sanctity of the Sabbath in all its details, more than any other mitzvah. Because when we keep the Shabbat, when we sanctify Shabbat, the Sabbath, we are testifying that this is God's world. We are saying that He said this day, this seventh day is a day of rest, and through our rest we show the entire world around God's will. Shabbat is considered, Shkula k'neged kol mitzvot, it's considered on par with all of the mitzvot of the Torah. Here's where you can see and understand that. Because there is nothing more evident to the world around us, us being Jews, than our separation from the entire work week, from all the mundane, and taking a day and making it spiritual. A day that's separate from everything and dedicated to one's Creator. Nikura basar v'tachlit mikol shehu shel chelev adam, being careful that all a person's meat has been properly travered, that the veins and so forth have been removed, and the fats that are forbidden are removed, and the blood that is forbidden is removed. This is very significant. For what we put into our mouth, what we put into our stomachs, affects who we are. It affects how we think and what we do. Therefore, be particular about everything that you put into your mouth. Kashrut is important. Because it affects the soul, it affects your mind. And from all occurrences that can happen in the evenings, in one's sleep, impurities that can come forth from him because of improper thoughts he had during the day. A person needs to take that responsibility and guard himself throughout the day to protect his soul in the evenings. Lo yishtamesh b'shemot ha-kodesh klal u'din yishtamesh b'taga ha-chalaf. And in particular, Rav Chaim Vital tells us not to make use of any of the holy names of God. One that uses the crown is cut off. Even though a person might think he's doing something positive by dabbling in the esoteric aspects of the Torah, and the names of the angels, and the names of God, he's not doing anything positive but causing destruction to his life. Rav Chaim Vital tells us later on, and we'll see it, that the Arizal accomplished all that which he accomplished not through any kind of hocus pocus and magic, but because of his good traits and his being a righteous, a tzaddik, by being a hasid, by being pious and being kadosh, being holy, by making his will God's will, and then God's will is his will. The whole world is nothing but an illusion and transparent. A place just to fulfill God's will and to lighten with his brilliant light. Therefore, don't look for the shortcuts. Don't look to try and find some Kabbalistic cure. Beseech God with one's heart deep within, with knowledge and with learning of Torah in all levels, pshat, remesh, drush, sod, from the simple to the hints to the homilies to the secrets, that with the secrets he'll know how his simple prayer can elevate and go off into the heavens in its most proper and pristine path. And that is what Limud Kabbalah, that is what the study of Kabbalah is for. To be able to properly mechaven, to properly order and direct his prayers in heaven. Umevaze Talmid Chacham Kimikra Apikoros. Without any question, one of the traits that we need to be careful about, in particular about, is not speaking improperly, speaking against those that are dedicating their whole life to serving God and learning His Torah. A person who does so is called an apikoros. What's meant by this? It's very simple. Think about it this way. No one's perfect, including the rabbis. Anybody who thinks they found a perfect rabbi, anybody who thinks that there's any Rebbe or any person that is perfect, even Moshe Rabbeinu isn't perfect. No one is perfect. It is not, though, for us to judge any being, and in particular those who have dedicated their life to Torah and to teaching and to being representatives of God's will by learning the Torah and by teaching and by directing all of us. What does that mean to say? It means to say that we need to appreciate all those that have took upon themselves to help us by dedicating time out of their lives for our sakes by learning Torah and being on the courts and in the positions of making decisions about right and wrong, kosher and tame and so forth. Those people deserve a certain level of respect for the dedication they've made, whether or not you like them, don't like them, whether or not you agree with them or disagree with them. And it is important for us to understand that. And against any form of turning in Jews into the non-Jewish world. There is no excuse for a Jew bringing another Jew to court. There is no excuse for Jews turning in Jews to tax departments and to government agencies and so forth and so on. It doesn't mean that they don't need to be right and correct. But it means to say that we have to have responsibility amongst ourselves and maintain Torah, maintain purity within ourselves. It is responsible beings who are being responsible for the community, who are guarding the sanctity of the community, and that means it's separation from the outside world and turning inwards and dealing with the problems inside first. Only with the strict guidance of the courts, and there are times when this is proper and needs to be done, only with a court order, a Jewish court order, can a Jew ever be turned into any Jewish agency? Can anybody ever go to court against another Jew? Only with the written stamp from a Rav, from the Beit Din, that has made a decision that you should go to the non-Jewish courts. Otherwise, eat your losses. We don't bring our dirty laundry into the world outside of our communities. Ever. V'achreihem lavim hachamurim kamo shivu'a l'shem yiparech v'afilu b'emet o b'shivu'a shav v'chol mine shivu'a v'chol mine machlut asurot. Therefore we have to be very particular about not making any swears, even swears in God's name, even on truth, for sure not on something which is not truth. Swearing, binding God's names to things, to thoughts of any physical nature, is bringing down and drawing down holiness, not in order to lift up the physical or draw down the spiritual into the physical, but rather to bind the two together. And purpose there is not in that. V'chol minei ma'achalot asurot, and as we said, all forms of non-kosher foods, to the umpth degree a person should be try and be particular. Improper food creates improper thoughts. What you put in affects you. Continuing now, in terms of the positive mitzvot a person should be careful about. B'kiyo mitzvot asei, a person has to be careful in fulfilling the positive mitzvot, making these positive mitzvot, these positive commands, part of your natural tendencies. Tzitzit, putting on tzitzit, putting on the talit, tefillin, wrapping tefillin, kriyat shema, pamay b'chol yom, being careful always, twice a day. Kibbutz Shabbat b'kol pratim, honoring the Shabbat with all of its details. Lamul ben, to give a brit milah, gemil chasadim, uvikar cholim, b'achnasat orchim, b'havat shalom, doing good, kind things to other people, going and visiting the sick, bringing in people to your home and giving them food and giving them sustenance, and most importantly giving them a place to sleep, as that is the main mitzvah of Hachnasat Orchim, of bringing in guests. V'havat shalom, and bringing peace to the world, bringing peace to each other. These are the traits of the pious. These are the things we need to make our nature, our natural tendencies. Tefillat Shmona Esrei b'tachlit hakavana b'simcha, that we pray to God with happiness and directed thoughts. Controlled passion, just being happy and jumping around a room, isn't doing it. Directing our passions and our emotions and our being and our entire thought and the fire within in a specific direction to heaven, that is kavanah. That is the happiness that we need to invest within our tefillah, in our prayers. And I will say like this, as I said before regarding the learning of Kabbalah, it's this aspect which is the true learning, the true aspect of the limud sod, of the depths of learning, of the secrets of the Torah, is to know how to properly move and push along one's passions in a directed fashion to God. That is an ultimate goal that starts with learning the basics and then the hints. and then the homilies, and then the Kabbalah. And to go ahead and to always judge people favorably, to bring them to the kaf sechut, to the side of good measure, umasa umatan be'emunah, doing all one's business in honesty and truth, tzedakah, going and giving charity, matan beseter, giving charity secretly and quietly, leaving some bags of food in front of the door of someone who needs, not demonstrating your kindness even in front of them, but hiding all one's good deeds behind doors. Kaviut itim l'Torah yomam v'layla keneged kulam. And the most important thing in terms of the positive doing that will lead a person to piety is making set times, day and night, for the learning of Torah. How are you going to be pious if you don't even know what's right and wrong? That is the key. Kiyum minhagot Torah kriyat shema shalamita. In terms of those things which are positive to the leading up to piety that a person should do, in terms of the customs of Torah, is reading shema in one's evening prayer, and at the very evening before he goes to sleep, to read Kriyat Shema Lamita b'Kavanah, with Kavanah, with intention. It's very difficult. Comes the time to go to sleep, and what? How difficult it is to break one's Yetzer Harot and to pray the Kriyat Shema, to pray the prayer, the evening reading of the Shema before going to sleep. Something which the Chachamim, the Rabbis, have told us and given to us, and said, do this. All kinds of excuses we made in our mind at the time when we were ready to fall off into bed. Break the desire to sleep for a moment, to sanctify and unify God's name in the reading of the Shema, so that one's sleep in itself is also a positive mitzvah, and it's not just some form of simple pleasure, momentary pleasure of a couple hours, but rather the evening hours that will give us the power and the energy to further fulfill His will in the coming day and energize us, that the sleep itself become a service of God. That comes through Kriyat Shema Lamita. Kimat to rise in the evening after midnight, or at the very least very early in the morning before sunrise, to mourn on the galut, on the expulsion of the Shekhinah into galut, into the midst of the world outside of Israel, outside of the Beit HaMikdash and the Holy of Holies, caused by our sins and the destruction of the temple, which forgave us day in and day out, bought a sweet sense before God gave and brought about that God should gaze upon us positively all times. V'lasok b'Torah, and then to learn until the time of davening, until the time of prayer arrives. Yirat Hashem tamid al panav shelo yechata. He should always have the awe of heaven constantly upon him so that he shouldn't sin. Behold, in all your ways you should know him. The veikut now show him Hashem yiparach lo yivatel afilu raga, that he should cleave with his soul to God and not even allow a moment to lapse without that connection. So we should be zoche, so we should merit now and forever, and see, God willing, speedily in our days, Mashiach tzidkenu b'menu amen.